Well, good morning, brethren. How are we doing today? It's good to be back. We went to Badlands last week, so that was really good. Billings was well represented. I noticed that because there were 50 people here last week. So, we had three of the speakers were from Billings, and they all did a phenomenal job. Very, very. I very much enjoyed that. So Billings was represented well, and I wasn't one of them. So that part was kind of nice too. But I mean, we were here for Wednesday midweek assembly, and it still feels like we haven't been here in months. It's amazing, you know. It's like when you're plugged in to the assembly, and you make that a priority, and your lifeline, and the brethren encouraging, building one another up, like Ephesians says, and then you're gone. You know, one Lord's Day, even though you're assembling with others, I mean, you really feel it. So, really good to be back, and glad y'all are here. We can open up to Philippians chapter 2. I'm not going to start here right away. This thought occurred to me a couple weeks ago, and I didn't mean for it to happen this way, but now look, I understand. It's kind of the nature of our minds. There's a few of you who are going to go to lunch today and have already forgotten what I preached this morning. It just happens, okay? I've even done it where I was like, wow, what did Kevin say? Or what did Lorenzo say? So it happens, and that's why the Lord designed it, so that you keep coming back and you keep hearing it. You know, hey, we're in Psalm what? 72? And we don't read an entire psalm per week, right? Sometimes if it's shorter, we read the whole psalm. Sometimes we'll read half of it. So just, you know, tack on 50%. It's taken us 100 assemblies to get to Psalm 72, which is how long? Roughly 2 years. Did you guys realize that? Isn't it amazing what you can do if you just stick to it and do it over and over and over again? How much could you read if you just read it every day? Not once a week, right? It's amazing what you can really accomplish steady over time if you just stay plugged in, make it your habit, keep coming back. Like, we're in Psalm 72. It's taken us 2 years to get through that. Do you even realize that? Like, it's how long we've been there. So, I had a thought, and I didn't mean for it to go this way, but if you've been paying attention to the last 4 or 5 messages, and I didn't plan it this way, but I preached our closing song. And it didn't hit me till 2 weeks ago when we were closing up and I was singing it, and I was like, that's been the theme of the last 3 messages. Some of them have been 2-parters, right? I have decided to follow Jesus, right? I'll take one with me and we will follow, right? The cross behind us, the throne before us. That has been the last 3 messages. I didn't even plan it that way. Maybe last 4 or 5 messages, because some of them have been 2-parters. No turning back. I'll follow him. So I'll kind of explain maybe a little more why, but I want to take us through that song today, this morning. So let's start with, I have decided to follow Jesus. If you guys probably are already in chapter 2 here of Philippians, I'll read this really quick. Verse 9 says, for this reason, the fact that Jesus humbled himself, left heaven and came to earth and died for us in his obedience to God's plan, for this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Of those who are in heaven, and on earth, and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God, the Father. But there is a day coming. Every knee is gonna bow before God. And that tongue is gonna be confessing that Jesus is Lord. Everyone. The heavenly beings, those on earth, and those who have died and are under the earth. Every one of them gonna bend the knee. And you see how that plays out, right? If you are willing to bend the knee today and confess that Jesus is Lord, right? Follow the pattern of the New Testament. Be immersed in water in Jesus' name for the remission of your sin to receive His Spirit. And you confess Jesus is Lord and you bend your knee and you say, Lord, you're God, I am not. You get to sing that song forever in God's presence. Amen? Now, you got to remain faithful to the end. I have decided to follow Jesus. But for anybody in this life that's maybe thought about it and then got distracted, playing games, worshiping other gods, maybe creating a Jesus of their own imagination, trying to accept Him into their heart through prayer, which is unscriptural, and aren't willing to bend the knee now, it's going to get forced on Judgment Day. And those are going to be thrown into the lake of fire. So, it's easy for us who have bent the knee. Look, we got to remain faithful to the end, but it's easy for us to think about, oh, I'll get to it tomorrow. Oh, I'll get to it tomorrow. You know I could be doing more. I know that I could increase my faith. I'll get to it tomorrow. Don't want to play games. There's a day coming. Today is the day. You know, and that came out in the Hebrews class really well. When's a great time to get started, brethren? Today. Was that Rex? Now. You know, in the story I always tell, it's like if you ever were left home alone when your parents ran errands, and then, you know, Dad always said, you need to clean up the living room before we get back, and then we spend the whole hour destroying the living room, right? Then we see those headlights turn in the gravel driveway, and that our stomachs, you know, hearts sink into our stomachs, and we're like, we weren't doing what we were supposed to be doing. You know, Jesus in His own words says, nobody knows the day or the hour of the Lord's return. He could come right now. He could come in a year. He could come in 1,000 years. Nobody knows but the Lord Himself. So, when should you have the living room cleaned? Now. Then, once you've got your spiritual house in order, then you can get to work glorifying God in your body. Amen? We have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. I will follow Him. So we want to make sure. Look, and if we were resolved last Lord's Day and then this week kind of got distracted by the worries of the world, hey, repent. Fix your eyes on Jesus. And fix today. Now, Lord, today, I'll firmly place my hope, faith, and trust in You and not in myself. And I will stop carrying my anxious thoughts with me, trying to solve my own problems, and I'll follow Philippians, and I'll take them to You in prayer and give them to You and learn what is the peace and joy and the fullness and the measure that's been given to us by Christ Jesus. We have decided. We got to make it to the end. No playing games. Okay, I'll take one with me, and we will follow. I don't know about you guys, but when I discover the next latest and greatest thing, I usually tell people about it. How about you? You know, so many of you guys come to my door, maybe not even necessarily you, people come to my door, and they call my phone, and you guys say, oh man, I found this latest and greatest thing. It's this perfectly crafted donut that has no calories in it. Could you imagine if such a thing existed? I'd tell all y'all. Once I found something, man, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, right? That which a man found, went and hid, sold everything that he had so he could buy the field, which kind of looks like the Badlands, right? Isn't that amazing? You got this land. It rains for 2 hours, so there's 6 inches of mud, and then the wind blows for 2 hours, and the whole thing's bone dry again. You can see why they're not growing cream crops over there, okay? And why it's the bad land, okay? But it's like, that's kind of what it looks like, is you take everything you have, your 401k, the equity that's in your house, you sell the rig, you sell the car, you sell everything so you can go buy ground that's dry and cracking and the mud is red and sticks to everything and never goes away, right? Just so you can get this little lockbox that's hidden somewhere in the middle. Because that's how valuable God's kingdom is. And then you find it and you're like, mine, nobody else can have it. No, you're like, hey! I found the kingdom of heaven. The eternal kingdom of heaven. All the other kingdoms on the earth left for another kingdom. Destroyed by the kingdom that's before it. Sorry, America, it's here. It's got an expiration date because that's what man's kingdoms do. There's only one that is never left and replaced by another in Daniel 2, right? The Lord's here. Hey! Look what I found! Man, I'm going to take one with me. Let's go! Don't sit on that. And you guys are great. You got to tell your family first, right? Mom, dad, son, daughter, nephew, aunt, uncle. Look, everyone's telling you that you can pray Jesus into your heart. Did you know that's not in the Bible? They're being lied to. You guys like being lied to? No one likes being lied to. You got to show them. I love Acts 8 for this. You turn on over to Acts chapter 8. To a certain degree, I mean, Jared Schaefer was given this preaching topic at Badlands, and I thought he did a phenomenal job. I mean, I was so fired up. And Jared, I thought you did a great job with your topic and then the direction that you went with that. I thought that was great. You know, I was sitting there and I was listening to Jared talk about evangelism and, you know, take one with me and we will follow. Like, let's share this with people. It's not ours to keep. And that's not how God designed it. And we'll get to that part later. But I always think of Acts chapter 8. What happens in the end of Acts chapter 7? Stephen, stoned to death, right? Really cool chapter. Not cool because he dies. Like, Stephen kind of gives like a synopsis of all the Old Testament in like 50 verses, you know. And then they kill him. And in chapter 8 it says Saul, who would become the Apostle Paul, right? But he's Saul. Is God interested in us undergoing an identity shift and a name change? You see, do you guys understand why Kevin said what he said? He's serious. He legitimately feels bad that we're saying that. Legitimately, because I know Kevin. Prone to wander? Is that the name and the identity God's given his children? Or does he call you saints? Would you always act like a saint? It's like, sometimes not. But he still gives you the name, doesn't he? Because you're going to go where you're looking, and in your life, you're going to fulfill the internal picture you have of yourself. Okay? So, God's pretty interested. That's why we go from sinner, through our conversion, and through God's mercy and grace, to saint. And that ain't because I'm the bee's knees and I'm so great. You can't work your way into heaven. Because in fact, me on my own merit put me at enmity with my God. But through his mercy and his grace, he's given me a new name and identity. And the entire New Testament is trying to get my faith to match that picture that God has. Because then you'll act in accordance with that picture. So God gives us all kinds of examples of name changes. So here's the old man, Saul, new man, Paul. Old man Saul was in hearty agreement with putting Stephen to death. And on the day, a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Look, I'm not making a prediction. I'm just putting this in context for you. Stephen gets killed for being a Christian publicly. And from that point forward, then a great tribulation and persecution comes upon the church. It just takes that one case. And it's coming. And I don't know what it looks like or how it's going to be. I don't try to do that, okay? But it's like, man, you see what they did to Trump, right? Wait until they falsify charges and get it pushed through the court, and all of a sudden they find a reason, a legal reason, to jail Christians. Once you get the first one, whoosh, now the rest can just follow. What I'm trying to explain, I don't know how that happens or if it happens in our lifetime. Sure, looks like it. But I'm just saying that's what happened here. Public execution of a Christian. The people wanted it. The leadership wanted it. They got it done and the people supported it. And then it says, from that great day began a persecution against the church. Okay. Verse 2, some devout men buried Stephen and made loud lamentation over him. But Saul began ravaging the church, entering the house after house and dragging off men and women who would put them in prison. Therefore, those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. And then you finish this chapter and you see the word goes to Samaria. It goes everywhere. It's like you've got the church in Jerusalem, right? Is that the apostles? Is that the evangelists? And the pastors and the teachers? Isn't that also the brethren? So when that meteor of persecution comes, poosh, lands right in the middle of Jerusalem, and they scurry like ants when you step on an anthill, who went out and began preaching the word of God? The whole church. Because the whole point of that, from that point forward, you see that, and God allowed that persecution to happen so that the gospel could spread. Because people, you know, our nature is, you know, we kind of like each other, you know, and that's cool. There was a little moment there between the morning opening and assembly when there were like just 10 kids huddled in a corner, just like flying everywhere. And someone looked at me and they're like, man, the kids are everywhere, like in a good way. And I was like, man, what a great thing. You know, I get all kinds of feedback from people who come and visit. And they similarly, the few things that they say is, man, y'all really like each other. And they say, man, there's so many kids. I love that. I don't want to be a congregation that has no kids. How about you? Amen. I'll take the noise for now. Now, if they're, you know, if the Lego set's starting to go clank, 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 bong, 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 like, okay. But I'll take the noise over no noise. How about you? Amen. Right? Like, at some point, the kid doesn't stop screaming and you're 36 in, please take him out. Right? But I'll take that over no noise, right? So they say, man, there's so many kids. And the other thing they say, y'all like each other. Do you know how easy it would be for us? Like, do we have a good thing here? I mean, are these rooms filled with Sunday school teachers? I'm teaching through the book of Daniel. I could list off 5 or 6 names of men who could take us through that class right now. You know how many congregations in the world have that? I mean, scripturally take us through it and we will understand it. We have 5 other guys here in this room that could do it. We got something special here. Would it be easy for us just to kind of sit down and get cozy and go to each other's houses and bake cupcakes and make camping plans and just kind of hang out with each other? We like each other. And God goes, and drops a meteor right in the middle of the city called Christians are dying in the streets, and it forces them to scatter. You see that? That's what happened. Look at this verse, chapter 8, verse 4. Therefore, those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. Verse 1. Saul was in hearty agreement with putting him to death. On that day, a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered, the church, throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except who? The apostles. So who's out there scattering, preaching the gospel? The church? Where are the apostles? They stayed behind. Sometimes it's easy to get this idea that the apostles were the ones just preaching the word. And there, by extension, the evangelist is the only one that's supposed to be preaching the word. Right? The apostles are the ones who stayed in Jerusalem, and the church are the ones who went out. And they said, you sit in the front row, so you always get picked on. They said, take one with me, and we follow. Okay? Here's the other way I look at it. Is the church the light of the world? City set on a hill? Matthew chapter 5 says it. Right? Jesus says, you are the light of the world, the salt of the earth, a city set on a hill. Why do you the light of the world for? So you can find your keys in the dark? So you can find that missing coin that's under your bed? Why are you the light of the world? If we're the light of the world, what does the Bible call those who are outside of Christ? Darkness. So why on earth has God got all these people who are the light of the world? What's the point? So we can have potlucks? I got to be careful. We just had an epic potluck. Do we need potlucks? Do we need more stuff like that? Maybe 2 picnics in the park? I mean, that stuff's great, but can it be the only thing the church is known for and doing? No, it's a two-part deal, right? We like each other, and that's the first step, because if y'all don't like each other and we ain't having potlucks, what are we bringing people into? Just a bunch of grumpy old people who are here because they're afraid of going to hell, and that won't get you to heaven, right? So you got to have both. I have decided to follow Jesus. You get your spiritual house locked up first, right? Make sure you got your spiritual ducks in an order. And now is the light of the world. Share that with others. I think it's such a cool message. Many of you guys have been in the Lewis and Clark Caverns. Anybody here been in absolute darkness, like the complete absence of light, right? Man, I mean, it's like you're waving your hand an inch away from your face and you can't. Because, you know, if you were to close your eyes right now, you can't see anything, but you can make shadows cross in front of your eyes. You can still see that, right? Man, talk about being in complete darkness. And then there's a little beam of light over in the corner. Could you see that? It would be the only thing you could see. And you're supposed to go, whoa, right? I mean, this is how we catch fish, right? You lure them in. And really, it's your faith, right? You know, because I can't remember who said it. Who was that? Oh, it was Rain. Yeah. You can know this thing really well and win lots of arguments with it. But if you don't have love, you have nothing. If you're not doing it because you're genuinely interested in the person, you could sure win a lot of arguments. Yeah. Is that it? You know? And to a degree, your fruit is what draws them in, right? Like maybe your kids aren't the ones throwing the temper tantrum in the aisle at Walmart. That's kind of rare these days, isn't it? You know, I remember, like, the number of times people said to my mom, I just want to thank you so much. Your kids are so well behaved. How many times do you think you heard that? And that's coming from me, not from her. I remember that. It didn't matter if it was, well, it was County Market, you know. It didn't matter if it was County Market or Buttrees or if it was just school. And the teachers are like, man, we just want to say, that's a great compliment, isn't it? Is that the light? But you also have to have a reason for the hope that lies within you, amen? And you got to be able to articulate, why do you believe in Jesus? It's like, you got to have an answer for that, the Bible says. Got to be able to make a defense to those who would ask you for the reason for the hope that lies within you. You guys get it. We're the light of the world. We're the light so that we can draw people to God. Once they start saying, hey, why? How come you're the only person that doesn't use abusive language in the workplace? It's like, I do it for God. You know? And if they're interested and they're a truth seeker, there's an opportunity there. You point them to Jesus. And there's all sorts of ways to do it too. You don't have to lead a Bible study to do that. You realize that, right? Now, I talk to a lot of people. it's a good, effective way it works, that people are willing to meet with you and to take, because a lot of them don't understand the Bible because they've never read it. So, you can take them through it and let them read it for themselves, answer any questions that come up. I mean, it works. It's great, but that's not the only way. You know, one of the comments that Jared made that I thought was really great, and he was publicly praising Jeff Biscoe, and he said, man, Jared's a guy who leads a lot of Bible studies. He's a knowledgeable teacher in this congregation, and he's very skilled at it. Very skilled at it, by the way. And he's like, man, Jeff Biscoe's given me more contacts than anyone else. Jeff's a guy out there just talking about this stuff. He found the donut. Jeff Biscoe found the donut that's yummy and has no calories. And so when he's out there just talking with people, and the guy runs lots of businesses and meets a lot of people, and he's like, hey, have you considered Jesus? Well, why do you guys practice this? That's not in the Bible. He's just willing to talk. He's found the donut. But then he's like, okay, go to Jared. Look, and I know Jeff's led Bible studies, and he usually joins in on a lot of these too, right? But it can look all sorts of different ways. You gals, man, you got people coming up to you because your kids are behaving? Talk about an open door for the gospel. Talk about an open door to glorify God. Yeah, well, I do this because I've followed the scriptural pattern for raising children. Right? The discipline and the instruction of the children are on me and not the state. And I took that seriously. And we do this and this and this. And we all do it because our faith is firmly planted in God. All kinds of opportunities there. Let's finish with the cross behind us, the throne before us. I thought of this, Kendall went to 2 Timothy. And I was like, okay, you know what? Let's go to 1 Timothy. The Gospel of John, Jesus says, come to me, and from your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And then Jesus' earthly words end, and then John, the author of the Gospel's words, pick up. And John says, this Jesus spoke of the Spirit, okay, whom those did not receive because Jesus had not yet been glorified. So Jesus was talking about the Spirit in the inner man. He's using water as a way to communicate. We all need water to survive, so that makes sense that water is connecting to the Spirit. And that it's a living water, so it's always running. It's a well of water that never ends. And he says, something very similar to the woman at the well in John chapter 4. John picks it up, giving us more information looking back now, right? And he says, when Jesus said that, he was talking about the Spirit that would indwell you, but nobody had received the Spirit yet because Jesus hadn't yet been glorified. So that tells you that something's got to happen with Jesus, right, before the Holy Spirit's been given, okay? You guys Christians, does God live inside you? Okay, that wasn't possible until Jesus was glorified. So what's this glorified thing? Well, in short, when the Bible talks about glory, particularly in the New Testament, it's a description of the resurrected state. Okay, you can... So, God's given us a perfect conscience, right? Has he given you a perfect body? No. Do you get a perfect body when you go to heaven? And the Bible says that's when you're glorified. Okay, so it's a picture of the resurrected state. Now, you're there by sight right now, amen? I mean, all kinds of scriptures say that. Ephesians says you've been raised up, seated with God in the heavenly places, but you still got this body. Okay, so when you get to 1 Corinthians 15, when you lay this one aside, the temporal one, okay, and you put on the eternal, right, and the imperishable inherits the imperishable, you put this thing off and you get a new body, he calls it being glorified. He says the glory of one is different than the glory of the other. So in short, the glory is a description of the resurrected state. When you're raised up, your faith becomes sight, and you're in the heavenly places. So the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus had not yet been resurrected back to heaven, seated on the throne, glorified. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 3 is really clear here. In verse 16, he says, by common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. He who was revealed in the flesh, vindicated in the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. See, glory is the resurrected state when he's taken up. All right? So if you turn on over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, got to close this down quick here. Why all the fuss? Why is the cross behind us? Because we're not supposed to have eyes in the back of our head, right? We don't want to be looking back. Why is the cross behind us and the throne before us? Because you're going to go where you're looking, right? Well, why all the fuss? Because the eyes set on Jesus in heaven in glory is where the transformation takes place. It's where it takes place. Okay? So, and 2 Corinthians 3 tells us this. So, if we jump on down here to verse 17, it says, "The Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We all, with an unveiled face," okay, so we've got that veil, right? And when we turn to the Lord, when we become Christians, the veil's removed, so now we can see, right? "We, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord." James calls the mirror the completed word of God. So we, the veil is removed, looking in the Bible, can see the glory of the Lord. Are being transformed into the same glory. From glory to glory. Just as from the Lord, the Spirit. You turn on over to Ephesians 4. Again, this is a recap. We took 2 weeks to go through this. Why all the fuss about the cross behind us and the throne before us? Because the cross is where the sins were forgiven when you were contacting the blood of Christ in your immersion, right? He nailed your certificate of debt consisting in decrees against you, and he nailed them to the cross when you were immersed, Colossians 2 says, okay? He says, that's behind you now. The sinner, forgiveness, you've been forgiven. And he says, you look into the completed word of God, into the mirror of God, and you see what? Jesus' glory. And if you'll look and you'll keep looking and you look more than once a week on Sunday in Psalms, right? And if you'll just keep looking with a repentful, contrite spirit through prayer, you're being transformed. What are you being transformed into? What you're looking at. That's why the fuss. Why are we focused on Jesus' victory over death? Not the death. Not the death. Jesus says, "I want you to focus on the cross." He never said that. "I want you to focus on the death." He never said that. He says, "I want you to focus on me seated in heaven." Because that's where the victory over death is. He has Jesus never to die again, the Bible says. Jesus seated in heaven. Ephesians 4 in closing. Love the way that this communicates this. In verse 20, he says, "You did not learn Christ in this way. Indeed, you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as the truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth." He's like, here you are. There's your old man. He was put to death when he was immersed, right? Okay? Lay him aside. Renew your thinking. Get yourself looking forward. Renew your mind. And he says that new man, focusing on the new man, he's in the likeness of God. How's that possible? Because God lives in you. And when you'll keep looking and you keep looking, I didn't say it, 2 Corinthians 3 said it, it says you're being transformed into the image you are looking at. Let's stand. So, the first thought, I didn't realize it, but the last like 5 weeks, I just preached the song that we sing. The second thought, time for a new song. So, but I'm not picking it. You don't want me to pick it. You guys just start flowing some of your suggestions to me. But wanted to recap the last few messages and then say, hey, let's keep renewing, pick a new one. You guys help pick it out. I don't want to pick it out. You don't want me picking it out. And hopefully by next week, we'll do something different and it'll make you all feel weird, but you know, we'll be okay.